Today's daf from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Masechet Shabbat, is daf Chaf Aleph, we're holding right on the top line. Tana Rabbanan. Kol Elu Shamruin Madikim Ben B'Shabbat, Avo Lo'asim Mehem Medura. Makes no difference. You don't have to worry about all of these fuels or wicks. They're great if you're going to be using them to burn in a fireplace. You know, we're talking only about lamps. We have the problem about wood and needing to worry about lighting most of the pieces and so on. This is not Nogea, these flammable materials. Because obviously they're a lot better than wood. The only thing was that they weren't perfect for a lamp, but to use as a fireplace, whether you're doing it for light, or you're doing it to get warm, and whether you're doing it in the fireplace, or you're doing it on the ground, or you're doing it in your stovetop for fuel, you do not have to worry about rov. The only problem that we have was in the event that you want to use them as a lamp. So over there you have this complex interrelationship between the capillary action of the wick and the heat that's going to be vaporizing the fuel and the way they interrelate, and that has nothing to do with a fireplace. Now let's move on to the various additional fuels that we were talking about in the Mishnah, which we still haven't explained, because until now we dealt with the wicks and we dealt with the transition between the wicks and the various fuels. So we got the shemen keek. What in the world is that? Look, I mean, the way to find out about things is to get on the internet. The only one that's on the internet in those days were people that actually moved around and would go from country to country on business and so on. So those are the nechuta yama. Those are people that take trips. And they said that they do know what a keek is. A keek is the name of a particular bird. And it's found actually on the seashore. So when you have cities that have ports, they have this keek there. It's a kind of seabird, and they make an oil out of its fat, and that's shemen keek. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, actually, it's nothing so esoteric. It's mishka de kaza. It's good old fashioned cottonseed oil, which you could buy today in any store. And Rish Lakish says it's the kikayon de ona. It's an oil that you squeeze out of this plant that people call Yonah's Kikayon because it has that sense of protecting you. As we'll see, it's this big tree, and it gives a lot of shade and grows very quickly. Well, Merabba Bar Bachana, I saw one of those, and it looks like a tzluvita, which is a plant that's got a lot of, like, sort of a rubber plant. It grows from places that are very swampy. It takes a lot of water, so that people would plant it and water it in front of their stores because, first of all, it smells really good, but it gives a lot of shade. So people would hang around the way they hang around air conditioning today. They would hang around the store entrance and look into the windows, and meanwhile, they'd buy. You use its seeds to squeeze oil. And under its branches, the minig was that people in Eretz Yisrael that were ill, they would put them under these branches to give them a shade and good smell. Omar Rabbah, getting back to the Mishnah. So basically the Mishnah has spoken about a problem with a whole set of wicks and a problem with the whole set of fuels. What is the reason? What's the problem? Omar Rabbah, the reason that the Chachonim said that the wicks that we list in the Mishnah are no good is mipnei sha'ur misachsechet behem. It's because you get a lot of sputtering and the flame does not burn steady. And because of that, it's not, or another pshat is misachsechet, it's not really connected evenly to the outside of the wick, which is the same idea. Shemanim shamur chachomim ein madlikim bam, and the oils, the problem is that they are not really drawn properly by the capillary action of the wick. And because of that, you don't have a steady supply of flammable gases. So therefore, there's a machlokas over here. Therefore what? Therefore, says Rashi, shema yate. So b'meila, if you want to prepare for Shabbos, you have to prepare something that's not going to bring you to go ahead and be over on Shabbos, obviously. But the simple meaning, the way some other Rishon brings, that the point is we want a good Ner Shabbos And one of the issues of Ner Shabbos is the Karat Le Shabbos Oneg, which we'll see relates to the concept of Shalom and Shalom Bayis. And because of that, you're not going to have a good candle. So you're basically being over on the Hadlok of Ner Shabbos. It's very simple. What about mixing all of these oils? The Chachamim said, Ein Madlikim Mem B'Shabbat. I mean, if you mix a certain amount of good oil into them, then basically you change their characteristics in terms of how easy it is for them to be drawn, and you make a different viscosity out of it. You change the surface tension, and because of that, they will be drawn into the petila properly. So am I allowed to do that? Can I put a little bit of good oil, kosher oil for the candles? Or mi gazrina demati let look be nailalo. So do we make a gezera that if we allow you to use, let's say, the shemen kik, that you mix with a little bit of good olive oil, that then you'll just use plain shemen kik? So Rabbi said to him, no, we do not do that. So Abaya said, well, why not? My time, huh? So Rabbi says, because we don't. That's all. The fish ain't madlikin. Rashi understands this. I mean, there's a lot of places in the Gemara where we do this, and they have to be understood each in its, why don't we? Because we don't. So Rashi really understands, why don't we? Because we don't means, since we don't light it, be'inayu, we don't light it at all. Eitvei. So Abaya says, what are you going to do about the bright? The bright says that you can mix. I mean, albeit I asked you about the oils and the surface tension, but the same question would be true about the petila itself. I mean, suppose you have a very good petila, you know, and you wrap it around something that is not usable for petila. So you have some grass that we said you're not allowed to use, and you put some good cotton wick around it. So here it says in the Braita, if you wrap a good wick over something that you're not supposed to use, you're not allowed to use that. But Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, well, in our family, Shel Beit Abba, we actually would wrap a wick around a nut. Now, a nut you can't use for hadlaka, and we would be miyadlik. So you see from here that in Rebbe Gamliel's family, they actually did against you, Rabbi. Said, Rabbi, I don't understand. Why are you asking me from Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel when you could have brought a raya to me from the Tanna Kamma? I mean, isn't it better to bring a raya from the rabbin? No, come on, that's a big difference. Because, I mean, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was talking about what actually happened in his family. He wasn't talking about a theory. He said, this is the way we did it. That's called Maaseh Rav. It's always much bigger raya to bring somebody actually did things. So therefore, I'm bringing you a question from that. Mikomakom kash. Okay, so what are you going to do? I mean, I'm assuming Reb Shimon said that they used to light those the nut because you had a good thing around it. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Nobody would light a nut, for heaven's sakes. Lahakpot. We use the nut to give a floating support to the wick so it doesn't fall into the oil. Nothing. Who's going to light a nut? So only, I won't say it, ila hakpot. So if the problem is that you're using it to keep it floating, so my time in the Tanna Kamma, why in the world would the Tanna Kamma say you're not allowed to do it? There's something wrong with the girsa here. And actually, the whole Braita, there is no Tanna Kamma. The whole Braita is going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and you left out a little piece. V'kisurim b'chasu, v'alkin katani. It starts like this. If you wrap a good wick over a bad wick, you're not allowed to use it. But, now add in this piece, if you want to light both wicks, but if you're just using something to float the other wick, that's certainly mutter. And we know that from Reb Shimon Gamliel's family, we're over there, he said, where the egos was used to keep it floating. Ask the Gemara, you're telling me you're not allowed to mix good oil with bad oil. That's what Rab is saying. But I thought what Bruno Marav said, that if you have melted chelev, or you have fish kravayim that you melt, once you melt them, you process them, so then they are, we'll see later when we discuss this earlier, mikra din, they're really good oils. And he paskin, even though we don't use these oils, but you can mix them with some good oil, like olive oil, and use them. So you see that Rav Alokha Lamaisa said, not like Rav. Said Rav is no comparison. The oils that we just mentioned are actually good oil. The only reason we don't use them is because we're afraid that if we allow you to use chelev mu'utach, you'll use chelev she'eino mu'utach. So therefore, the other oils that I was talking about, like shemen kik and so on, those things we don't allow you to mix because we're afraid you'll use them. Masha inkein, over here, it's only usher to use them as they are, because gozru rabbonin al chelev mu'utach mishum chelev she'eino mu'utach. We're afraid that if you use the processed fats, you may use unprocessed fats, and those don't burn properly. Or al kirvei dagim shenimuchu mishum kirvei dagim shelo nimuchu. So they think, well, okay, fine, but the bottom line is you can't use them, right? So if you can't use them, how come it's saying you can use them if you put in oil? Why don't we make a gezera? Come on, says Rabbi, because we never make a gezera for a gezera. He goof a gezera. I make him a gezera. The next are gezera the gezera. We're not, how many steps away are you going to say it? It's not like all one thing. So memela, we are moderate if you mixed it, but we answer it if, even though it's a fine oil, because of the chance that maybe you'll confuse it with pure fat. Tani Rami Bar Chama, Petilot Shemanim, Shamru Chachamim Ein Madlikim Behem Shabbat, Madlikim Behem B'Migdash. Ein Madlikim Behem B'Migdash, you are not allowed to use them in the Beis HaMikdash either. And this is very similar to the issue that we brought in the first place, the way Rashi had originally explained it. Mishum Shenemar Lahalot Ner Tamid. How do we see from Lahalot Ner Tamid that there is a special inyan to make sure that it's burning on its own? Hutani lavu amar la kedeshe teshal hevet ola me'eleha velo shete ola al yedei davar acher. So leha'alot means that it is independently being ole. That's the issue. Now you'll notice that we have just made a transition, which is an extremely important point because it's going to define the entire dapim that are coming. And that transition is the understanding that even though up until this time, we recognize that all of the inyanim of Shabbos were being learned from the Mishkan, we did not recognize that that was also a principle in the deep hachana for Shabbos, which we call Or. So the hadlokas ner of Shabbos actually is deeply related to the hadlaka of the menorah, as we'll see. And because of that, the pasuk lahalot ner tamid, which serves us as the basis of understanding why we need these petilot, are going to lead us straight into you know where. Because as you know, the Ramban understands what's the meaning of Aharon being madlik la'alot ner tamid, which was, remember, beha'alotecha, comes after Parshat Naso, and is the nechoma to Aharon that he was not zeicha, not he nor his shevet, was zeicha to bring anything for the Chanukah Tamishkan. And as Rashi says over there, shel chag adom mishalahem, which is the solution that the Medrash gives in so many places, and the Ramban points out that that can only be referring to Chanukah. So that the lahalot ner tamid means there is always going to be a ner that you will be lighting because of the takona of the chachomi, of the kohanim, who were the ones who created that takona. So that means that the inyan of the ner is itself directly related to the Mishkan, which means that the whole concept of or, which goes all the way back to the original Shabbos, Gan Eden, and the shlita of the Or HaGonuz during that Shabbos, is part of the Menucha v'Simcha, Ora v'Simcha. So the Or of Shabbos relates directly to Maaseh Bereishis itself. Therefore, it's not just an adjunct like one of the other things of cleaning out your pockets. And because of that, we're going to look, A, at the Migdash, and then, B, at Nerot Chanukah, because that follows directly. So once you understand the interrelationship, the Gemara makes perfectly good sense to anyone who keeps track of what Chazal are really trying to do in dealing with these issues. Everyone who doesn't keep track scratches his head and starts wondering what the heck are we moving on to Chanukah for in the middle of this sugya. So the next thing that we learn is the petilot in the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, where do we get petilot? And we get directly to Aharon HaKohen and to the Big Day Kahuna. Where else? So, Mibaloi Michlasei Kohanim, Umehem Yanehem, Hayumavkiim, Ehen Hayumavkiim, Umehen Madlikin. So they used to use the worn out begodim, the Big Day Kahuna, even though the Chora, they're using wool, right? So they had things that were made out of tcheles, argaman, and sheish. So, but you're not allowed to use the tcheles because tcheles are made out of wool, and we said you can't use wool, and you're not allowed to mix them either. Says the Gemara, well, that's not talking about the lighting the menorah. That's talking about the Simchat Beit HaShoeva. The Simchat Beit HaShoeva, that was Lahalot Ner Tamidis for the Mizbeach, but not for Simchas Beit HaShoeva, and therefore it's a perfect quality petila. Now, there's two explanations for this. First of all, because it's not the menorah, but secondly, remember that the daf began with the question of whether you're allowed to use these things for a fire, for a medurah. Okay, so that's a completely different issue. Over here, the Simchas Beit HaShoeva were these gigantic torches. And over there, it could well be that we don't have the concern that we have about the wicks and the oils. Therefore, that's a completely different question. Tashma. The Tani de Rabba Bar Matna, Big Day Kuhuna Shabalu, Mafki Inotam, so you would unravel them. Umehemo you osimpetilot limigdash. Limigdash means for the menorah. It doesn't mean it's for the Simchas Beit HaShoeva. And I'm assuming it's talking about even the Kilayim, which is the mehem and nehem, like we said before, even though we don't say it here. So it's mashma that we can use wool. No, who's to say? It doesn't say over here that they used the avnate. It says big day kuna. Maybe it's talking about the begotim that were made sheish, totally out of linen. And linen was perfectly okay, we said, as long as it's properly processed. Om Rav Huna, pitilot v'shvanim, shamru chachamim, ein madikim ben b'shabbat, ein madikim ben b'chanukah. You're not allowed to use them in an erech Chanukah, bein b'shabbat, bein b'chol. Says Rava, why? What would be Rav Huna's reason to say it's usher? Because and what would be the reason for him to mention chol and shabbat separately? I mean, if you can't use it for Hanukkah, well, I would think you could use it for Shabbos. So my time at the Rav Huna, Kosovo, so first of all, he holds that you have a responsibility to relight your Hanukkah candles if they go out. And because of that, we're worried that you will not. And if we allow you to use something that is not going to burn well, and it goes out, or according to some, if it dims badly, that's the way the Beis HaLevi understands it. So then you'd be mechuyev to go back and fix it. What if you don't? So because of that, you have to do it right in the first place. Furthermore, he answers doing this on Shabbos because he holds it's mutar lishtamesh la'ora. You are allowed to use the Chanukah menorah, let's say, to read a book. So because of this, we're afraid that you are going to be mate on Shabbos. So because of that, he mentioned Shabbos separately. That's how Tosfos learns. Others learn that the point is that if Lamaisa, he wouldn't have held Mutar Lishtamesh La'ira, then there wouldn't have been a problem of his doing it on Shabbos, because there, obviously, we wouldn't have said Kofsa Zakukla, because you can't light it. So on Shabbos, you're not mechuyev to relight it. But he's got another problem on Shabbos. His other problem is that maybe you'll be yate because it's mutter to read to the lights of Hanukkah. Rav Chista Omar, madlikim ben b'chol, you can light them during the week, but you're not allowed to light them on Shabbos. Obviously, he holds that as far as the question of kofsa zakukla is concerned, ain zakukla. It's not your business to relight them, therefore there's no problem. But on Shabbos, mutar lishtamesh la'ora, and therefore we're worried, shema yateh. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rav Masnav, Amar Lo Amar Rabbi Zera, Omer Rav, pitilot ushmanim, shamru chachamim, ein madikim ben b'shabbat, I hold you dafke can use them on Hanukkah. Bein b'chol, bein b'shabbat. Whoa. That, what would be the reason that Rav would say that, says Rabbi Yirmiyah? Obviously because he holds A, kofsa ein zokukla, so we're not cheshesh that he's not going to be yotze his mitzvah because he won't relight them. He doesn't have to relight them. And B, asur lishtamesh la'ora anyway. You're not allowed to use the light from the Hanukkah menorah, so what's the chashash on Shabbos of Shema Yateh? So to explain Rav, they told Abaya, what Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, and Abaya didn't believe it. Lo kibla. When Ravin came years later from Eretz Yisrael and he met up with Abaya, he told him that Amr Rabbanu Kamed Abaya Mishmei the Rabbi Yochanan. Now, later on, they said the same thing. And then from Rabbi Yochanan, he accepted that that was Rav's pshat. And he said about himself, "Ay chaval, izakai gamritul shmaite miyikora. If only I would have had this chus, I would have believed it when Rabbi Yirmiyahu told me." Says, "Well, who cares when you believed it? Bottom line is, you now know. What are you complaining about? No, what are you talking about? There's a big difference. The younger you are when you learn something, the more it becomes part of your way of remembering and looking at things. And that's called girsa de yankuta. And that makes a big difference. Unfortunately, I wasn't zeicher. And now I needed to wait these extra years, by which time it's no longer as good." Ask the Gemara against Rav and Rav Chisda. You're telling me that kofta ein zakukla? What doesn't it say beferish vidraminu? What is the time that you're mechuyev? Now we think it means, what is the time that you're mechuyev to see that the Hanukkah menorah continues to burn? Mitzvata misha tishka hachama ad shetichle regel min hashuk. You have to light it at shkia. Again, there's a big machlokas. Is this the tchila shkia like the Rambam learns, which is the minhag here in Yerushalayim, like the Gra, immediately upon shkia, or whether it means sov shkia, or whether it means the shkia shnia, the shita Rabbi Natam. In any event, it's from that beginning until Tichle Regel Min Hashuk, until nobody is left in the marketplace. Now, I'm assuming that that means that it's your responsibility to see to it that your Hanukkah menorah keeps lit during that time. So, my lavdi kafta, how do madlik la, you have to relight it. No, it doesn't mean that. Maybe it's just giving you the amount of time during which you have available the time to light the menorah. So in other words, if you didn't light the menorah right at the beginning of the time, and there's still people in the shuks, and then you can go out and you can light the menorah. You know, I mean, that's a simple explanation. There's another explanation. The other explanation is that if you're lighting, then when you light at the beginning of the time, put in enough oil that it should continue to burn until kol regel min hashuk. But it doesn't mean it's your responsibility to relight it if it's blown out or something. So either it means ilo madlik madlik, or it's coming to tell me the shiur of how much oil to put in. When you say, when there's no longer anyone in the marketplace, how long is that? Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ad Dekaya Rigla de Tarmudoi. The Tarmudoi was the name of a group of people, you know, so they looked at them like the gypsies, and they, I've drunk, you don't look. If you don't look, you can't, yeah, it's always. If you don't look, you can't know. You know, I mean, Rabarnea subscribes to SodaStream. They tell you, listen, and then you can tell how happy the Gaz is, you know, whether you need your new SodaStream. Okay. So these Tarmudoi were like gypsies. They used to be available till late at night because they would sell fuel, little wood for people who, when they came home and realized they were out of fuel, they would come back to the shuk to pick up some fuel. And that was later than the regular shuk. So this is like once upon a time, you know, before the big plague, they used to have these things called gas stations. People used to actually go places in these boxes and they would pour the smelly stuff into it, and that made it go. So those were like open late at night. And it's hard to believe people actually used to do this before we had to start living underground and so on. But it's not so long ago, you know? I mean, I heard it from my grandpa. Anyway, that's the shir. Tanur Rabbanan. Mitzvat Chanukah. So the din of Chanukah goes like this. The Iker mitzvah is ner ishu beito. Every household has to light one candle every night. Ha-Mahadrin. So people who are, now there's two approaches to Mahadrin. Rashi learns Mahadrin means hadar. Hadar is to chase, to keep looking for. Mechazer. Mechazer as opposed to beauty. So he learns people who keep looking for a way to do the mitzvah, you know, in a way that's better. And everybody else learns that mehader is a lotion of beauty, to do it in the most lovely way. So HaMahadrin Achar HaMitzvot, they light one for every single person in the household. And Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, that's a machlokes. Beit Shammai says the first night they light 8, and then they go down every day. So then it's 7, 6, 5, 4, until the last day they only have one light. Whereas Beit Hillel says you start with one light, and then you add for each passing day. Tosfos says that this doesn't make any sense if you're also being mehader. Because if you're looking at the number of candles, how is somebody supposed to know whether you're lighting because there are 7 people in the house tonight, or whether you're lighting 7 because it's day 7? So there would be no way, it can't be that these two things build one on the other, says Tosfos. Okay, we don't paskin like that, obviously, but Omar Ula. Ula explains the machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. And there were 2 shitas in Eretz Yisrael that were arguing about what would be the thoughts of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. One was Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, the other one was Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. So one of them explained that the time of the Beit Shammai is keneged yamim hanichnasim, and the time of the Beit Hillel is keneged yamim hayotzim. So it's simple. It's actually keneged. Obviously, you don't need anybody to tell me that's what they're saying. One of them is saying you light 8 on the first day because that's how many days of Hanukkah are left, including today. And the other one is saying you lighting 1 on the first day because of how many days you've passed. Come on. So obviously the point over here is you're facing those days, keneged. You're facing those days. Rav Moshe Eliyahu told me a beautiful pshat. I think it's his own pshat. He wasn't sure, but it's really a beautiful pshat. And he told this to me this year, which made a beautiful impact. He said the pshat is like this. There's 2 different inyanim in Hanukkah. One of them is lahodot. One of them is lahalel. The concept of lahalel is your responsiveness to something that's amazing, right? So even the goyim, hallelujah Hashem kol goyim. Right? That's part of Shevach, Shabchu Kol Ha'umim. So that's the response that you have to being amazed at something. If that's the issue, then when you know that you've got Keneged, you're facing 8 days of this miracle, like you're really turned on and you're celebrating it with Hallel. As each day goes by, it gets a little bit less, until finally it's the last day. Okay, so I'll light 1 candle. But the Inyan of Hodah is the sense of the intimacy of what's been offered to you in terms of your internal growth, which is the Yehuda, the way that Leah understands. That is something that, on the contrary, as each day goes by, you have a deeper and deeper level of intimate experience of it, so the Mela keeps growing. So that would be Keneged Hayamim Hayotzim. I thought it was such a beautiful shot. Anyway, and that was according to one of the Amoraim. V'chad Amar Taim Beit Shammai. The other one says the point is like this. Beit Shammai holds that you go down. Because look, after all, Hanukkah is essentially, remember, historically speaking, the Hanukkah is essentially Sukkot. And it was actually made to make up for the Sukkot that the Akum had assured on us to keep. And in that sense, it's the only time that we have 8 days. It's the only other time we have 8 days. The only other time that we have a Hallel every single day, of Hallel Shalem. And because of that, we treat it the same way we treat the Purim on Sukkot, which was Porei HaChag. And the Porei HaChag, remember, go down every single day. And this was a simon that the Goyim are going to be kolot. There's less and less of worry from that. So big as this war with the Greeks was over a period of many years in terms of the culture war, and even the actual war of Hanukkah was also a 3-year process. So it was Keneged, the Porei HaChag, that should be Mitmatim V'Ochim, and that became part of the mitzvah. Whereas according to Beit Hillel, the idea is fundamentally its relationship to the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, it's Malin B'Kedesh, the in Moridin. So anything that we do, we always do a little bit more of each time, not less. Now, Omer Rabba Bar Bachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Lamaisa, there were some people that did like Beit Shammai, and there were some that did like Beit Hillel. And I can tell you there were 2 Zikanim in Sidon, Echad Asaka Beit Shammai, Echad Asaka Divrei Beit Hillel, and each one argued, actually, with the Sfaras that we just heard from the Amorayim. Zenotein tam ledvarav keneged porei achag. The one who did like Beit Shammai said, it's exactly the way the Torah is remained in the Korbanos of Sukkot. Zenotein tam ledvarav demalim bekadosh ve'ein moritin. Tanur Rabbanan. Now, where do you put the Neres Chanukah? Ner Chanukah, mitzvah la'anicha al petach beito mibachutz. The main mitzvah is to put it at the door to your house on the outside. And this is a big machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here, which of course involve all the other Rishonim. Rashi says it means bedavka, the door to your house in your chotzer, not in the Rishus Rabim. So when your chotzer, when you go outside to your chotzer, it's right at the doorway to your house. But if your chotzer opens at the Rishus Rabim, then it doesn't show the connection to your home. Tosfos says exactly the opposite. The whole point over here is the Pirsumei Nisa to the chotzer, to people in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, every household in the chotzer would put a menorah in front of the door that goes out to the Rishus HaRabim. The Ima Yadarba Aliyah, suppose you don't have a door because you live in a building with 60 stories and you go up with an elevator, where exactly would you put it then? Then, Menicha b'chalon hasmucha l'Rishus HaRabim, you put it in the window, which is visible from Rishus HaRabim. And if it was a dangerous time, b'sha'at ha'sakana, where you could be attacked for having your Hanukkah menorah, and the Goyim only wanted to have their Christmas lights, so then b'sha'at ha'sakana, this was an actual period in which they would fine anybody that had a light in their home. B'sha'at ha'sakana minicha al shulchano, you could put it inside your home, and that would be enough. Amar Rava, but, and this is how the Rishonim learned, but if you're putting it in your home, then you have a problem. If you put it outside, it's very clear that nobody is lighting this thing outside in order to be able to see how to fix his bicycle tire. That people understand that this is some type of a formal symbol. But if you're lighting it inside, where you always light lights, how will people recognize that when you put up a candle, when you're putting up candles every day anyway, to read a book with, how will they know that it's a Hanukkah candle if it's in your dining room? So because of that, you've got to light another light that you're using, and that would show that this light is a special light for purposes of Hanukkah. The Ika Medura, if, however, you've got a fireplace, and there's a big fire there, you don't really need the light, then that's enough. However, if you're the kind of person that would always have a light on, even though there is a fire, and you wouldn't use the fireplace, then you really have to turn on the lights. So you turn on a light, and then you can light your Hanukkah menorah. But otherwise, it looks like you lit the Hanukkah menorah for the light. My Hanukkah, what exactly was the basis of making a yontif called Hanukkah b'chlal? The Tana Rabbana. It's merumas in the word Chanukah. It was b'chof hei b'kislev. This is the lashon we find in Megillas Tainus. And this is a classic Megillas Tainus. Every brayse of Megillas Tainus reads essentially this way in Aramaic. So b'esrim l'chamisha b'kislev yumei d'chanukah t'manya inun. There are 8 days that we call Chanukah. D'lola mispad b'hon, d'lola hit'anot b'hon. These are days that you're not allowed to say aspedim on, you're not allowed to fast on. The basis of this maise is, continues the Megillas Tainus, as it does on every one of the many, many days in Megillas Tainus that are usher, either in both Hesped and Tainus, or only usher in the Tainus. So when these Yevanim got into the Beis HaMikdash, they were timu kol HaShevanim Shebeichal. וכשגברה מלכות בית חשמונאי וניצחום, בדקו ולא מצאו על הפח אחד של שמן, so they needed to be מחדש חנוכה, so חנוך, they needed to do the חינוך of the Beis HaMikdash again, after they were retired, the Mizbeach, they wanted to start all of the Aveda properly. They didn't have any shemen that was tahor. בדקו ולא מצאו על הפח אחד של שמן, they did find one pach that was sealed with חותמו של כהן גדול. Now, what does that help that it's sealed by Chotamah Shel Kohen Gadol? It depends. If this was at the time after the Gezerah that all of the goods, it's not clear when that Gezerah was made. So when did we give a din of Zovim to all of the Akum? So Tosfos says, if we gave that din, then it wouldn't have helped that it was by Chotamah Shel Kohen Gadol. Because how do we know that it wasn't moved? It didn't become Tamei Be'aseter Shel Zov. So then we would have to assume that it was also hidden underground, and it was nicker that it wasn't, nobody had touched it. Others learned that the very fact that it was still sealed and that nobody had plundered it meant that it hadn't been seen and touched, because anyone who would have seen it would have immediately seen, oh man, this is fancy stuff. It was Wunderbar, would have taken it for himself. Anyway, there was only enough for one day, and Nase Bones, Vidlikabimino Shmona Yamim, because of that, Lishana Acheret, after they saw in the next year, after they had discussed it in Sanhedrin to be Kovea the Halacha, they were Kevaum Veasaum Yamim Tevim, and not Yamim Tevim from Halacha, but Yamim Tevim vis-a-vis Halel Vahoda. Tanan Hasa. Now, in Baba Kama, it says that if you have a Geitza Yotze Mitachat HaPashtish V'yatzav Yizik, a guy is a blacksmith, right? So he's banging with his hammer and there's sparks flying, and that those sparks land at somebody's house and they cause a fire. So then the smithy is chayev. But what about a case where a guy is driving by with an overloaded camel that is filled with pishtan? And he's coming by Rishus HaRavim, and a little bit of his pishtan passes by the smithy shop or any shop that has candles in it, and it was turned on fire by the shop lights, the Delkabanero Shochenvani. And then the pishtan that was on the camel went along and set fires as it was going to various houses. The Baal HaGamal is chayev because he overloaded his camel. But if the shop had a candle that was outside of the building, then he's chayev because he shouldn't have had a public candle because it could cause fires. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that's only during the year, but B'ner Chanukah, Patur. Since he was doing this as part of a takona for a mitzvah, then it's the camel's concern to make sure that he's not the pishtani. Of course, all of you will immediately recognize the Rashi about Yaakov Avinu, right, when he saw Esav, and he saw the descendants of Esav, and he said, how are we going to be Amit connected that? And Rashi brings the Medrash Moshel to a camel that was full of pishtan, driving by, and the storekeeper says, oh my God, where is there going to be room for all of that? And he's a blacksmith. So we tell him, don't worry, Geitz Echad Yotzei, there'll be one spark from you and you'll burn up all that pishtan. And that's the Beit Yosef becomes the Lehava, the Beit Yaakov is the spark, and it'll burn the whole thing up. Might have something to do with this Mishnah, you think? Anyway, so that became the story of Hanukkah. And Omer Avina, you can learn from here, that this proves that a Ner Chanukah has to be put within 10 tvachim of the ground. Because if it doesn't have to be put there, why can't the guy say to the one who put it there, look, I'm not going to sue the camel. You're the guy who should not have put an open flame in a place where it could have lit a camel going by. It should have been, let's say, 15 feet up. You should have put it up laniach l'mala migamal v'rochvo. Says the Gemara, okay, but that you may be right, and you are right, perhaps, l'chatchila, but maybe the reason we didn't make that takana is not because it's a mitzvah to put it within 10. It's because if we're going to force people to take responsibility for fires that are caused by their Ner Chanukah in the public shuk, then the likelihood is that they're not going to light Chanukah menorahs. Because for them to have to get a ladder and to put the Chanukah menorah all the way up there, they're just not going to do it. So that may be imitrach le tuva, so then atilim nuye mi mitzvah.